David. Very nice of you to chat with me today. I know there's a big time difference. I'm here at 11:30 a.m. and it must be close to dinner time for you.
It's six-ish.
I'm actually kind of curious, what is your evening going to look like today?
Well, in the Netherlands, we have since a few weeks a curfew, so I'm not going anywhere. I have a few cello students, pupils, who will come over to my house before the curfew is in effect. So in 1 hour, I have a student teaching. And after that, dinner time practicing.
Now, the concert on Friday has been, have you already recorded that?
Yeah, I think we recorded it 2 weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago, in a studio in Amsterdam, which is was actually pioneering with live stream concerts. Exactly 1 year ago, when the pandemic first hit, they had some plans which were not yet tried, which they had not yet tried out yet. But then they immediately became quite big in the live streaming business, together with us actually, because we did, I think, 4 or 5 concerts from that studio.
Pretty amazing, as I look back on this year, how organizations and ensembles and performing artists have found creative ways to try to connect with people who are stuck at home in all different ways. Maybe you could tell us the position of your group, up and coming. I know earning awards, getting a place on the circuit, getting international gigs, basically, before the pandemic hit. Where were you, w did you feel good about your positioning at that time?
Yeah, well, actually, the year 2020, in the first 3 months, I think we visited three continents. And it was really like a roller coaster. We had already, I think, most of our concerts. We had a concert in the United States, in Chicago, and one in New York in January. And then we visited Ireland and many different places in Europe. It was just going very well. We had good programs and good connections in many different countries. And then suddenly we had nothing to do except preparing for our next album, which was something which was already planned before, but it was suddenly the only thing. And because we had much more time free to be preparing for it, we actually took some different turns in the preparation progress, because it was a long-standing wish of ours to try to get nearer to the composer Johannes Brahms with the kind of equipment which was used to perform his music in his day. So with gut strings and early romantic bows, which is something which takes quite some time to adjust to. The approach of playing is quite differently from the modern set that we use normally. And now suddenly we had the time to make this adjustment and to really make the upcoming album something which was very special to us and a very special step in our development,
Oh
which
my.
was something we have to thank the pandemic for, actually.
If you could see my face, that I wasn't expecting to hear that, this young quartet had taken a left turn into period romantic era specialty. That is wonderful. The equipment really is completely ch transformative on these instruments. Well, you're the cellist. What did you have to change besides strings?
Well, the strings were actually the main part. The bows we use are sort of a mixture, because many of the performance practice state changed quite radically just after Brahms died. So in the beginning of the 20th century, the first decade, you can see with all the first recordings changing the way of playing so fast that when you change the gut strings, you're already halfway there. But they were being used far into the 40s of the 20th century, I think. But I have now an early romantic bow, which is really quite different. We can now approach Brahms' music much more rhetorically. in a way which is Brahms studied the music by Joseph Haydn, Mozart, and Beethoven so much, and he was so much against the only playing with your heart, but he was always trying to find a way to combine finesse with emotion, that with the early romantic notes we use, we can really get that aspect of the music much more clear.
David, did you try to switch back and forth at all, or did you go complete and total immersion into the new setup?
Yeah, we went back and forth a few times. When we were recording the album, which will be released in next October, we tried to focus only on using the gut strings and the romantic bows for a few weeks on end.
Yeah.
But in between, we had to, for instance, when recording this concert for Fontana, for the Bartok, it's impossible to do it with gut strings. This music is has so much folky passion. Bartok was insistently, he wrote for steel strings. When you hear the first recordings of this of his fifth quartet, and you know the Hungarian string quartet with which he worked. So we were switching back and forth quite a lot. I think for the Bartok recording, I actually used a gut A string.
Mm.
So I'm like, it's like a hybrid setup. It's like the setup Jascha Heifetz used, for instance. Transitional.
Well, any change like that must be a little frustrating to begin with. But did Brahms make more sense? I mean, he's talking to you from the page now, and did you feel more close to the composer as you worked with instruments that he loved?
Yeah, for us it felt much more natural, actually. Brahms always, when you read his letters, he always said, "I prefer symphony orchestras that have at least 200 players." And then you read another letter in which he says, "Yes, well, my favorite orchestra is actually the Orchestra of Meiningen, which has only 40 people."
Mm.
So you have to read it a bit between the lines what he meant by that, and what we got out of it is that when you really prepare super well his music, when you really dive into it, it gains a lot by clarity in the texture. And when you just want to dream away with the nice sounds, then it helps to have the contemporary setup, so to say, to have the steel strings and play everything with lots of vibrato. But there's something to be found in both ways of playing it. That's the fun thing. And I think Brahms, he couldn't see it in the future, but I think he was aware that both of these qualities are there in his music, that it's something that you can just go with the flow and enjoy it as it comes. But there's also something to be found for the people that want to, for instance, dissect the music and take it apart and really listen to the different words that are in it.
It can stand up to a lot of study and scrutiny and just be more rewarding in that way. Once again, you mentioned that this new release of Brahms with a period setup is coming in October. And I just wondered what, I want to look for that. What label will that be released on?
It will be for Rubicon Classics, UK-based label.
Okay, good to know. My guest is David Faber, who is cellist with the Dudok Quartet, and apparently you have three like-minded musicians who are up for a project like this. Tell me how the first friendships got started, and the playing companionship happened.
Well, our violinists, Judith Marlene and me, we met in a youth orchestra. And it's actually quite a special youth orchestra because it was actually, it still exists in the Netherlands. And it plays everywhere. Its performances are always, have one basic rule, that it's not in a concert venue. So it can be in the streets, at unpredicted places, but also in prisons or in hospitals, for refugee camps, any place where you would never expect a symphony orchestra, this orchestra shows up. So that's where we met. And then when we all finished our conservatory studies, we decided to become a quartet, which is something within the League of Classical Music is something quite far from this guerrilla approach, because playing a string quartet just asks from you to spend lots of time rehearsing and not directly communicating with the audience before you think you have something to say. But we wanted to keep something of the spontaneity of this orchestra in which we met. So therefore, we try always to include in every program something we arranged by ourselves for the quartet, and something which you would not expect from a quartet. So for the program for Fontana, we included a gypsy tune, which was originally for a cembalo collective from Hungary, for quartet, because it fitted very well both the Brahms and the Bartok.
You will only hear that in a performance by the Dudok Quartet. It's not available anywhere else. And fontanamusic.org is where you will find tickets to bring this concert to your screens. David Faber is the cellist for the Dudok Quartet. What does Dudok refer to?
Well, when we founded the quartet, we had a few criteria for choosing a name. One was that it had to be pronounceable in any language, and it wouldn't have to be like a question mark, how am I going to say it? So that was the first demand. And the next, we wanted not to be associated with one composer. If you would be called the Schubert or the Mozart Quartet, mm-hmm. people would always want you to include his music in your program. So we looked for people in cultural life in the Netherlands, of which we thought they inspire us. And we ended up choosing the last name of Willem Marinus Dudok, who was in the Netherlands quite well-known architect from the first half of the 20th century. If you visit Holland, you should definitely go to Hilversum and see the City Hall, because it's really a remarkable building which he designed. And what's special about his architecture is that he's found a way to be inspired by the work of other artists who lived centuries ago, but make it something really contemporary. So he always took lots of inspirations from the work of classical composers from the classical Viennese era, Haydn, Mozart, Beethoven. But when you he took something about the perfectness of the the measurements of the music are so perfectly balanced in the music by Mozart, for instance. That's something which inspired his architecture. But when you see a building by him, you think, oh, that's absolutely not classical Viennese. So he's, in a way, combining the influences he took into something contemporary. And it's something that which we also do, because we play music which is largely an anachronism. I mean, why would people listen to string quartet music at all? It's because we think it's something alive and very much speaking. But if we would not think it would be meaningful to living people now, then we would not be playing it.
It's a wonderful full circle you've described of an architect inspired by music, and now you name the ensemble after a famous architect. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there are listeners in the audience now saying, Kara, you don't know who Dudok is. I'll be more prepared to visit the Netherlands now. if I ever travel there, I will be sure to seek out some Dudok structures. We've talked a little bit about the Brahms. I'd like to bring in the Bartok piece, and perhaps you could start us off by perhaps listing some parallels between these two different composers from different eras. We classify one as modern and one as romantic, but there are connections here, yes?
Yes, definitely. Brahms was among the first composers of a generation, which actually is still ongoing, that felt the urge to make music that was instantly classical. And that's something which the composers before Brahms, they just made music which served on an occasion for which they wrote it. But from Brahms, suddenly you had to write music that was instantly appealing to an audience, but also asked for performers and audience to revisit the work again and again. And Bartók was among the first composers to take this torch of which Brahms handed down to the generation after him, and to find a way to develop a string quartet, for instance, this fifth quartet, in which every time you listen, there is something new to be found. And I think it's a never-ending process with the music by Bartók. It's so rich, and also at the same time, it's never turning you down. All the investments you make into trying to enjoy the piece are always rewarded. So that's really something he has in common with Brahms, I think.
I wish I could take a class from you, David. Wow.
Yeah, well, we spend so much time with the music, we try to always find something.
I love how you put that together, and I hadn't quite heard it that way. That includes the audience. I mean, a lot of time we talk about composers composing for themselves, you know, like I need to express myself. And this brings all of us into it. That's wonderful. I hope that you will be getting back to in-person performances when it's safe. Do you have any news on that front?
Well, the vaccination process in the Netherlands is quite slow, but it's getting there. It's getting there. And we know for a fact that the bookings for concerts coming, starting in 2022, are getting along quite well, actually. So we're looking forward to be visiting the U.S. in 2022, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you're anywhere near Michigan, that will be wonderful. Ann Arbor, Kalamazoo, Detroit,
yes.
Chicago, all chances to see the Dudok Quartet, but your very first chance is at 7:30 with a program of Brahms, Bartók, and a very special arrangement of a traditional Hungarian melody for the quartet. Did you all write that together, or did one of you start the piece?
Well, we try to alternate who arranges what. I think this one was made by Judith van Driel, our first violinist.
I think we'll leave it there for today. It's been a wonderful conversation. Thank you for illuminating us on the program and your work and how you think about it. And I hope you'll enjoy the stream and the fruits of your labor on Friday. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. My pleasure.